In today's episode, Samantha plays Yes Man the video game, JJ waits patiently for some reviews, and I play Mega Man because Mike's too busy herding animals. This is episode 67. Start this episode.
We already started.
Oh my goodness. Welcome.
I'm Josh.
Welcome to Fun Sphere Game
Club. Fun Sphere Glame Club. Yep.
Fun Sphere Game Club. Hi.
Welcome.
I'm Josh.
Who said that I was Mike?
I'm Blanche.
You're Blanche. Blanche. Thank you for keeping
call back or call forward, depending on what comes out first.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Blanche from Golden
yes.
Girls?
Yes.
That's okay. Has anyone ever.
Is there a Blanche in Golden Girls?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I was going to say, is that the only other time in human history that someone has had the name Blanche?
It's got to be.
Surely. Surely.
Blanche.
All right. Well, we're all here again, so that's great. I'm glad everybody's happy to be here. And what do you say we talk about some video games today?
I guess.
Think that'd be fun? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Since you guessed, Samantha, what have you been playing recently?
Well, I mean, obviously, I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3, but I did take a little break since I started my new job, and I want to get used to my new schedule before I start staying up all night again. even though I start work at 11, I still barely wake up on time. So,
okay. Because
I have to work West Coast schedule. That's why. So I work 11 to 8.
Okay. Okay.
So everybody knows.
Gotcha.
That and then some Overwatch stuff. And that's about it. Hasn't been too long since we recorded, I haven't been playing as many video games. You know, I was out of town and then I started this job kind of immediately, so I've been sort of trying to be good.
Gotcha. It is hard sometimes to, I guess I'll start this. What's the longest you've ever taken a break of like cold turkey playing no video games? Let's go around the table.
I've never tried.
Mike, what about you?
I don't know. Because, I mean, the older I've gotten, the less time I'll actually play games. But I don't think I've ever really stopped. It's just shorter and shorter bursts.
Okay.
Especially, like, because that's my go-to help me fall asleep. Is playing something on the Switch. And before that, the 3DS.
Because
I'll just lay in bed and play it until I pass out.
So before that, was it like Game Boy Advance and then Game Boy? Like all the way back to your childhood? Interesting.
That's why I've always liked handhelds.
Okay. JJ, what about you?
Yeah, probably just a few days. I mean, if you factor in like mobile games and stuff as well. So yeah, and it's probably just because I was on vacation or something and didn't get around to playing.
Huh. I find this intriguing that it's me that's taken the longest break. I know that I have gone at least 3 to 4 months without playing any video games before. And it's been, honestly, it happens every maybe 5 years that I'll take that much of a break in between. Like either just because life's going on and I'm too busy to do something like that, or... you know, one time I got
drought.
There's droughts of games, definitely. And like I said, at one point I got rid of all but one system that I had because I thought, well, maybe this is the point where I finally get out of this habit of, you know, something I was going to try enjoying other things. And, you know, I kept one system and then, you know, it's like, man, now that I've played this, I want to get all my old stuff back. And kids, if you're ever thinking about selling your collection of games that you have, don't do it. Don't do it. Because there will some that you will never be able to get back. Oh, okay.
Ain't that the truth?
It's almost time.
It's kind of wild though that I guess we got lucky that video games became such a staple in pop culture.
Yeah.
Because like when we were growing up, there was a definite line of like, you shouldn't still be playing video games at this age.
Definitely. We're the first generation where it's honestly been part of our whole lives, and it did eventually become acceptable to play games all the time.
I just had my first on-hands with this new company, and it's a kind of a small company, but it is a tech company. And so there's like 34 employees total. And it just was so crazy because, like, all the new people got introduced in this all hands. And one of the questions the CEO asked is, what's your favorite video game?
That's awesome. I will say this. I'm also, it's odd to me now to, like, engage with, like, my boss plays games. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. I don't think I've ever had that until I got to my current job. Because I was dealing with people like significantly older than me. So that's wild. And then also dealing with like younger, employees and be like, yeah, I play Fortnite. And I just scoff at them like the old man disapprovingly. That's not a real video game. It's interesting. It's unique to see how like incorporated it is into almost everyone's lifestyle, like via mobile games, like JJ was talking about, or anything. It seems like everyone plays games. Nowadays.
What I've always thought is funny is for as much as I've always loved handheld games, I have never been able to get into anything on my phone. I don't know what it is. It's almost like the computer. I can't do computer games because it feels like there's a big separation between like work and play.
Yes.
So like computer and phone, those are work. And then like handhelds and consoles, those are play.
Yes. I wholeheartedly have that exact same feeling.
I still buy a lot of games I haven't in a while, but like I have whenever they re-release the Grand Theft Autos and Bully and all that, I have those, but maybe put 20 minutes into
them. That's my, like, you would think this should be the, I remember we talked about this years ago when we did the My Horse thing. I said the thing about mobile games I find the most disappointing is this should be the best platform to play games on, but it's the absolute worst.
Honkai Star Rail, which I think is like a Genshin competitor, because my one friend's playing it, and I just wanted to like do some gacha pulls, but there's way too many cutscenes. It's weird. It like feels like it could be a console game, which it might be also. I don't know, but way too many cutscenes.
Now I will say this: I do play Marvel Snap, and that's only because I don't know what it is. I like collectible card games on that type of platform, but it's like, I'm also the player, like, I don't want to spend real money to do it. And I would never be the person that really got into those card games like Magic or any of that. Never once considered playing any of those, but something about having it on a iPad is kind of fun. I don't know why, but it's like the only one I will tolerate. What about you, JJ? You've yet to weigh in on this.
So I play Marvel Snap as well, and I play this game called Retro Bowl. It's kind of like Tecmo Bowl.
Okay.
it's mindless, very simple, get in and out within a few minutes and the game's over. So yeah, I'm not going to sit there and sit on the couch and play for hours. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to get out the Nintendo Switch, or try to play Final Fantasy. To Mike's point, I mean, there's not really a separation between the work and the work phone and I guess my phone, but it's still, if I'm waiting in line or doing something, like I pick up dinner and it's a 10-minute wait, I'll just play something quick.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you console first or?
Yeah, definitely console first.
Okay.
But depending on which one, it's all over the place. So right now, you know, I'm still trying to beat Final Fantasy 16, but then I have a couple of other games on deck. Not for broadcast, I think I have on standby next. It's recommended by your brother, actually. And
yeah.
It's a full motion video, so I'm gonna get a kick out of it. So now I'm at this point where I'm trying to finish this game fast because I want to play Not for Broadcast, and then Baldur's Gate releases on console. What, the 5th, I think. So
yeah, it's coming very soon.
It's gonna be a lot.
I'm right at the end of Baldur's Gate, so I'm doing all the side quests that I still have available.
So did you get all those 17,000 endings you were telling us about?
I don't even know. I don't know what ending I'm going to get. Because, no spoilers, but like in the last act, a lot of people try to make deals with you for like how to deal with this, the main thing. And I said yes to everybody.
Okay.
So we'll just see. And there's like, they all are like in direct conflict with each other. So we'll just see what happens.
Samantha, did you turn your game run through into like Yes Man from Jim Carrey? You just decided to say yes to everyone to see the outcome?
No, but just in the last one, because I was just trying to get the Asterion to like approve of me. Because I decided to romance the vampire, Avi. Did I tell you guys about how I've been dealing with tough boss battles? I can't remember how far I was when we started recording.
No, you told us about your committing war crimes previously. Mm-hmm. But you've not actually... Yes, but you didn't tell us about your like actual gameplay experience.
Oh, okay. Well, I made a bard. Seemed like a mistake for a little bit, but it actually has worked out really well. There's one fight that's really hard. And the guy was basically able to like two-tap every single member of my party. And it's on this platform, so that also, like, and he was, like, spawning, like, a ton of things. It was impossible, and I just kept losing an initiative, so, like I just kept getting really crap initiative, so I couldn't pull off any of the, like, strategies I had in mind. But then I found out, you can switch to a different character, have them start the cutscene talking to him, and then go into the menu and switch back to somebody else. And then while he's doing the cutscene, you can just push him off the platform and skip the fight
entirely.
So you
are literally like, so you are using like an old school hack, like, you know, in fighting games, get him in the corner and sweep him. Just keep sweeping him.
Oh my God. No, it's more like, so there's a hack in Blaster Master where if you shoot the boss and pause at the right second when they're flashing, then they just keep getting hit, so you count to 30 and when you unpause it, they're dead.
Kind of like that.
It works on like the second, the fifth, and the seventh boss or something like that.
Those old cheats that were actually just breaking the game that you had to need.
Well, it's fun because you could do something like that in your campaign, like on tabletop, so it's kind of awesome that you have those options. And then like I couldn't figure out how to get into this one area, so I just like climbed up on a roof and used a teleport arrow to get in like this little sliver, and then we were all just in there and we did it. I love having to, like, you can do the straightforward way or you can just be insane. And I've been seeing videos online of people doing like barrelmancy, where they're just like lining up hundreds of barrels and then like full of oil and then just like nuking a whole camp or whatever in one shot. So there's a lot of options for everything.
Okay.
It's gotcha. Pretty fun. There's so much you can do, and like we're gonna beef up my PC, so it's gonna be even better. Skid's bringing me some stuff. I think in the middle of next month, I won't be poor anymore. I can't wait.
That's nice to hear. All right, Mike, why don't you tell us about Legend of Zelda for the 57th week in a row?
Well, let's see where I am now.
Ooh, 210 hours. Okay.
I'm getting close. I have every shrine, every light route. So I've uncovered everything on the map. I'm going through and polishing off all the quests that I haven't finished, and then trying to get all of the outfits. I'm going for 100%.
Okay.
I'm not gonna get all the Korok seeds. I do have over 200. But there's like over 900, I think, in this one.
Oh god, I hate when they ratchet that up. Like, I'm thinking of like, so Batman Arkham Asylum had like 99 trophies, and they were like, you would encounter them fairly easily, and there was a good payoff. But then when like Arkham City came out, it was like, oh, now it's 200 something. And then when Arkham Knight came out, it was like 400 something. I have zero patience for that type of crap. Like, I like a good payoff, but like, you have to, like, the cost versus payoff has to be pretty equal for me to actually bother going through getting that many collectibles. Like, did you get all the seeds on the first one?
Hell no. Okay. I didn't get as much as I did in this one. I didn't do nearly as much in either of my playthroughs of Breath of the Wild than I've done in this one. This game, I don't know what it is, but I'm just enjoying it so much more than I did Breath of the Wild. Even though it's essentially the same game, just with they've tweaked the mechanics with this new building. But all the building stuff makes it so much more fun.
Okay. Ouch. Mike, did you like Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts? Is that what you...
Never. I've never played any of
I remember when this first... This was... they started showing the building mechanics. Everybody was ragging on it like it was going to be...
Fortnite.
That again. Like, kind of. Because, you know, Banjo-Kazooie, like when it came to the Xbox 360, they made basically, they're like, yeah, forget the platforming, exploring adventure game. You're now, it's like a building game. And people were super pissed about that back in the day.
Hmm.
Okay.
I will say that I can see my time wrapping up on Zelda pretty soon. And I bought a... memory expansion for the Xbox in anticipation of Starfield.
Oh.
I'm starting to come around on it. Mostly because I know that I won't have to pay for it since it's on Game Pass.
He took his computer into Micro Center yesterday and they gave him a... was it premium or something? A special... He got Starfield for free.
Wow.
Hmm.
That's cool. Yeah.
Ruby, shut up!
I know that I really feel like they're still overselling what the game's going to be, but I think that I'll still enjoy it. Or at least parts of it. You know, Bethesda magic.
Yeah, nothing like a Bethesda game on launch. Boy, are they always just the best. Let's see, JJ, you are getting excited for that game too, right?
Yeah, so unfortunately I don't have an Xbox, so I have to so I'm debating on the reviews first, so I'm going to wait and see what Mike thinks of it and how the reviews are, and make my decision. Okay. Then so I'll probably play it late. I think it will probably be better, mainly because it is a Bethesda game at launch and I don't have time to deal with that.
I'm sorry, folks. Mike was apparently just stabbing or beating some animal with... What the hell was that, bud?
She keeps... Oh, it's my back scratching. She keeps going right outside the door and yelling.
Unless we did hear her a second ago.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Well, probably when Mike was wailing on it that you heard it. Yeah, when he was thrashing the poor animal. So, since Mike is never going to play anything else, I decided that I should be the one then to play Mega Man Battle Network, since Mike hyped it up and he was so excited for it. Hasn't touched it.
I did play it for a week. Until Zelda.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you, in that episode, you just skipped right over it. Like, yeah, it's fine. I have been enjoying it. I did not encounter this game when it first came out because it was on Game Boy Advance.
It's awesome,
it
right?
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Like, it's such a crazy concept that works really well.
Yeah, and it still has, even though it is a completely new concept and stuff like that, it still kind of has the Mega Man magic, the Mega Man feel to it, which is
for sure
really weird, especially when you see how the game plays.
Sci-fi.
But yes, Mega Man is sci-fi.
So, when I was playing it before Zelda, I didn't remember how hard the game was. I don't think I had as hard a time with it as a kid as I did this time, but like, I've died so many times. And then I was mad that there was not a black border, but then they patched the game and apparently there is now, so I thought that was cool.
There is. I'll say this, I was definitely surprised by how difficult it was at first too, but you know, I'd never encountered it. But I was literally like getting wailed on in almost the introductory level, like fighting Gutsman for the first time. I was just getting wrecked. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? I've played tons of Mega Man games, and I was like, oh, I gotta kind of treat it like a Mega Man, but it's definitely its own little thing. It's kind of a,
it's like three or four different games in one.
Yeah. It's like a strategy game, like, tactics or
chess,
but then like real time.
It is kind of like chess, and
but then there's a collectible card game aspect to it. There's an RPG exploration concept to it. No, it's great.
It is, it's great.
So two is my favorite.
Okay.
They just like traditional Mega Mans, they start to wear out their welcome. Like, they found a formula that was great, but then they oversaturate the market with them. So like three, I played like halfway through before I burn out, and then four I got and I was like, why did I get this game? And then I never played any after that.
How many did they have total?
Six, I think. But then they just did branch offs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It got pretty convoluted.
I was gonna say, is this where the Mega Man Zero X games came from? Not the one that's
No. So Mega Man Zero was a totally different game. It played it did have an RPG element to it, but it was kind of like the Mega Man X games. You just play as Zero, but then it's in like the future, and it's really weird, but it's good.
I got that collection was on sale recently for like $4, so I was like, I'm gonna pick it up because I'd never.
Oh, nice.
Those.
They're good, and they're also very difficult.
Gotcha.
So be prepared to die a lot until you get, because there's like a customizable, like your loadouts for your weapons and everything, and you get perks, so you have to really dial in stuff.
Okay. I'll have to try that maybe next time too, but I too am getting ready for Starfield. I downloaded the preload. I don't know if you've done that yet, Mike, or not.
Oh, no, I need
to. It's like
The memory card just came in Wednesday.
How much if you don't mind me asking, how much one of those run you?
It was $150 for the Seagate.
Okay. That's not bad.
And I think that was on sale.
Yeah, they used to be like,
I think it's supposed to be $180.
When they first came out, Well, when they first came out, they were like $250. So yeah, I don't know. That's about what I spent on expanding my PlayStation 5.
Isn't that insane? That, like, I remember paying $80 for a 512 megabyte PSP memory stick.
Oh yeah, I liked seeing like in almost real, like, I guess it was real time, but whatever. Just the it, like, condensed time, I guess. The price of like memory just dropping.
Oh, back in the day, like, your first memory stick was like 56 megabytes to put your school papers on and stuff like that, and it was like $150 bucks for it.
It's just wild how rapidly.
Yeah, and now you can get
the stuff grows and declines. Like, we're still using essentially the same format.
Yeah, I read that but has something to do with like millennial, and I don't think Gen Z's right after us, right? Or is it? Whatever. Like, why we have such a feeling of displacement, or why we're all so weird, is because we saw so many things like come into the world and then become obsolete at like breakneck speed.
That's an interesting concept. I like that. Because it's true. Like, you know, think about just the evolution of the phone. Like, it feels like we've had iPhones for hundreds of years now, but it's only been like, they're not even 20
years
old.
Yeah, I remember how exciting it was to get a flip phone with a camera.
Yeah.
And then my pen pal in Japan was like, oh, I have a very basic phone. It only does video and camera. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
My phone doesn't even have a camera.
And just a quick confirmation, folks. Who all had a Motorola Razr?
I didn't.
I did.
I did.
I never did. I had.
Was Razr the flip?
Yes,
all the cool colors, you know.
Yeah.
So I had the non-flip that came out after that. Was it Sliver?
Yeah, I think. Okay, I remember that.
That was it. Was thin, but it was just like a. It was like a. I mean, it kind of looked like
a
normal iPhone. It just had tactile
had
buttons.
My first one was a Nokia, but it wasn't the gray one. It was like the next one with the color screen.
With the changeable plate?
My first one.
Did it have the changeable plate?
Yeah.
I don't think it had the changeable plate. It was blue and had. It was kind of. Mine was like a little bit of a like cool looking one, I guess, because it was blue and had kind of transparent parts. I don't think they were changeable, but it was very basic.
It's interesting. Like, that's a real good example of like a time frame to look at the evolution of the cell phone from, like, let's just say 2005 through now, because it actually, like, there were all these wild designs, like the sidekicks for messaging when text messaging first kind of launched.
Just gotta get hella good with
T9. Now it's like, now they all look the same and they basically act the same. There's not that many different variations, except now we're seeing foldable and split screen phones to show.
They're using all the K-dramas now. They're, because they're Samsung, you know. They all use Samsung products, and they all have the flip notes now, which, I mean, it's working. I want one. But it'd be fun to, like, draw.
They've got some.
I've always been a Samsung as soon as I started using smartphones, but yeah.
My first phone was a Kyocera. It says it was a Phantom. It looked like
a
God. I don't know if you guys can see that.
Oh my God. I wasn't allowed to have texting or internet, so at night I would sneak downstairs and get my dad's phone and switch the SIM card so that I could download wallpapers and anime ringtones.
Yeah, ringtones. That was a thing.
I was like, how dare you not have your phone on vibrate? At least, like,
exactly. It is literally a sin if someone's phone rings. Like, you treat them like a pariah.
Do you remember on? I think it was the old the Nokia, like the classic Nokia with the snake on it, where it had a ringtone composer.
Mine did have that. I remember trying to Make a cool one.
I just remembered every time that like a new song would drop on like from the top 40 hits, that all of a sudden the ringtone would show up, and you could buy it on the store for like $5. Sign it to your
and
friends.
And then when phones were suddenly able to handle like MP like more than just MIDI tones, and you could get like a chunk of a song. I had that Paris Hilton song. Because I was like,
so guess.
I did actually kind of like it, but just like, haha, I love the Paris Hilton song. I'm the weird one. Like that.
So,
God, now if I hear someone that has an actual song as their ringtone,
yeah,
I think,
same.
How embarrassing for you. Like, that didn't age well at all.
Ring back tones or whatever. So, they can still do those.
Oh my God. So check this out, guys. I'm gonna make a sweet transition here. I played a game. I wanted to try some of the streaming games on the PlayStation thing, since I've been paying for it for like 6 months and haven't bothered to touch it. And I decided to play Infamous.
That's
and
just an old game.
It sure is, from 2010. And like I said, for our transition, the thing that I remember was shocked by most is like the fact that the Nextel chirp phone is literally an integral part of this
Wait,
game.
Is that the one that takes place in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
No, it takes. Is it Seattle? I don't.
Or
it's just
Seattle-ish.
A random city. It's made
with,
now. Okay, now there's two games.
Infamous 2 is in Seattle, right?
I think so. Or is Prototype in Seattle?
I can't remember which game
because
this is.
I always mix those two up about which one.
Well, they're the same people that made it, right?
Sucker Punch is
you
who
can
made
do like
Infamous.
An evil. You can do an evil path or a regular one, and you take over a news station at some point.
Can.
Or is this a different game?
I can't. I don't. I haven't got
Spoilers,
that far into
I guess
into
you have electric
it.
Powers.
Yes, right. You have electric powers, and it's one of those. Like that whole game is like, okay, this is the 2010 shaved head white guy is your protagonist. You've got your open world destruction games, which playing this one, I was like, man, it's wild to see how far these games have come from 2010 to now. Because I, you guys might remember, I talked about Ghost of Tsushima, and that is Sucker Punch as well. And just seeing how much they've improved on open world and all the destructive technology is wild when you look at these two games, especially like when you consider, oh wow, you guys made this game and then you made this game a few years later.
I'm being really impressed with the city in that game, but now I bet it feels so small.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. It's, and you can see like so much more, but I'll say this. I was very impressed by the streaming technology for PlayStation, so ringing endorsement, I guess. All right, but that, like I said, I've been playing those too, and I guess we're getting ready for the Starfield. Anybody else played anything else, or anything else we want to talk about?
Nah.
Blank faces. Nah. Nothing.
Nah.
Nothing.
Next time, perhaps.
Okay. You know what, guys? We've gotten a little off track, and I'm afraid I am assigning a game for us to play next time. That's right, folks. We're going back. Yes, you are doing your homework, Samantha. You're going to do your homework.
You know what I wish we could play for instead of what you're pitching? But I don't think there's a way for any of us to play it now. But it would be perfect for Halloween as Condemned.
That's a scary guy.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That game is so freaking scary, but then it gets so
just
weird
like
at the end.
It does get weird at the end.
What was it? Deadly Premonition?
No. Deadly Premonition does
Let's
not
play
get
that
scary
again.
At the end.
Let's play the sequel.
No.
JJ wants us to play the second
definitely.
One.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
No. No.
Only when it goes down to $5.
I don't.
Yes. I'm not going to have any of you guys invest actual
I would just
US
watch all the cutscenes, okay?
I know.
It's just four hours of skateboarding.
I actually don't like playing games. I like the story.
And the truth comes out. Oh, well.
So when I was out of power for... I didn't have power for a few days because of the trees. And,
oh, wow.
Okay.
I text Mike, and my Switch was full. It was charged, so I was like, oh, I'll just play... just trying to figure out something to play, so I text him while I was playing Deadly Premonition. I was like, oh, I'll just revisit this, and it was a mistake. It's
yes!
I mean, because after I listened to you guys, and then I went out and bought it, and then... I mean, I enjoyed it, but, man, yeah, it's such a mistake.
We warned
you. I was going to say...
It really feels like it's going somewhere for so long, and then it's like there's no redeeming.
And you're like, I'm kind of into this fake Twin Peaks, and then you're like, never mind.
I was going to say, did they patch it? Does it even still run on the Switch? Because that was the biggest problem I was having, was the damn thing kept crashing.
It still runs, but the saxophone would do you in. I mean, it's like, no way, no way.
If the driving doesn't get you, the saxophone will.
Well, see, when I played it the first time, I was just off of leg surgery, so I couldn't walk. So I was pretty much just bedridden for about 3 months. So,
you had no choice. You had the time. You had the free time available to drive in that game.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, folks, I promise our next game will not be Deadly Premonition.
Paradise Killer again.
No, not Paradise Killer. It's not going to be a repeat, but it will be scary. But you'll have to wait till next time. Bye, folks. Bye.
Hurry.
Bye.